Introduction. Who are you? Apart from all the identities you will adopt and discard in this life, you are a sentient being. You are sentient, able to sense, to feel, to think, to know. You have a mind. Although your mind, as you have learned to think of it, is not how it actually is. Indeed, your concepts of and thoughts about your body, speech and mind are your great ongoing limitation. Neither you nor the world with all its inhabitants and objects are what you think they are. Why is this? Due to reification, attachment and judgment, the bright awareness which is your actual basis is hidden from you. Who has caused this? No one. In one suddenly arising moment, the delusion of an entity arose in the vast expanse illuminated by awareness. The excessive insistence of this bright delusion thickened into a proto-existent. Dulled by the intensity of its own bright energy, the moment seemed to linger after it was gone. This trace shadow, echo, evoked a further insistent moment, and gradually their traces thickened like smoke or mist until there was an impenetrable something. This opacity manifested as the bifurcation of light into subject, the seeming illuminator, and object, the seemingly illuminated. From their interaction arose a diversity of imagined entities, all the people, animals, hills, tractors, and so on that form the domain of our lived experience. Experiencing ourselves as someone somewhere, we experience feelings of liking and not liking towards the objects that we encounter. Having desire for the things we like, we seek to gain access to them. And having aversion for the things we do not like, we seek to avoid contact with them. This pulse of attraction and aversion is taken to be a valid response to the actual qualities of these objects. Thus, all that we encounter becomes infected with our mental attributions, and our reaction to these invested entities is inflected by our unawareness that they are reflections of our habit formations and by our responsive feelings. Acting and reacting, our habits and tendencies become potentiated, and this leads to birth in any and all of the six realms of samsara. Our current virtuous actions give rise later to lifespans in the three upper realms of gods, jealous gods, and humans. Our current unvirtuous actions give rise later to lifespans in the three lower realms of animals, hungry ghosts, and hells. All of these experiences are patternings of the content of the mind. Although under the deluding power of duality, we see seemingly real objects that are quite other than us, this misperception and consequent misapprehension is actually just the diverse dramas of duality enacted in the theatre of unawareness. The characters and props in these dramas manifest from the active influence of the five afflicting poisons, opacity, desire, aversion, pride, and jealousy. Opacity, or mental dullness, is our inability to see through the veil of reification. We see the unreal as real, just as we can be taken in by a cartoon film. We believe the unbelievable, and this prevents our accessing our potential for discerning uncontrived knowing. Desire is the wish for something or someone to complete and fulfill us. It is the expression of a deep-seated sense of lack, Something is missing, and we imagine that it is located in this momentarily shining other. Sadly, the other fails to fulfill the task assigned to it. Food does not remove hunger forever. Friends and lovers also bring dissatisfaction. The answer does not lie in the other. Yet we refuse to accept this. Aversion is the wish to push away the other. It arises from feelings of fear, anxiety, and dislike, which can mobilize quickly as anger and rage. In this situation, the other is experienced as excess. They are too much. I can't cope with this. Go away. Yet, due to our ego self being an inhabitant of the domain of duality, where subject and object are born together, we cannot get rid of the other. The problem does not lie in the other, yet we refuse to accept this. Pride arises as a sense of superiority. It is dignity swelling in excess of itself. I am different from others because I'm special and innately more worthy than they are. This separative move usually requires an audience who will confirm my superiority, and this need for affirmation demonstrates its hollowness. Jealousy arises with the loss of our sense of specialness, for now someone else is the object of the attention and admiration we crave. Our needy lack is exposed as our attempts to hang on to our longed-for centrality prove to be useless. We are cast aside, and yet we cannot let go. We cannot exist in isolation from the other, nor can we permanently merge with the other. Try as we might, we cannot find a way to stay in charge and live life on our own terms. Thus we suffer due to getting what we do not want, and not getting what we do want. What are the consequences of this? Birth and death within the matrix of duality. In the upper heavens and in the hells, we simply suddenly find ourselves there without any birth process. For humans, our entry into life begins with fear and confusion as we rapidly travel in dark constriction. This gives way to the seeming reality of the sexual engagement of the pair who will be our parents. We are drawn into the site of Congress, and the potential of our subtle consciousness is inflected with desire and aversion. If there is desire for the female and aversion for the male, this tendency will lead to a male body. If there is desire for the male and aversion for the female, this tendency will lead to a female body. The development of the fetus is the unfolding of the interaction between the arriving consciousness and the male and female essences. This releases multiple dynamic processes as the body develops as a complex system of communication, both within itself and with the mother's body, and through that with the wider world. Life is movement, activity, interaction, the continuous pulse of the heartbeat, and with birth, this manifests as the continuous rhythm of breathing. We are movement, co-emergent in posture, gesture, expression, and activity with the ever-changing environments we find ourselves engaging with. We are travellers on a journey we do not understand. We have to leave people, places, objects and habits that we may cling to, and we have to join with people, places, objects and habits that we may be wary of. The years go by as you move along the chain of past, present and future. Sooner or later, our journey ends in death. If death is slow, for example, due to gradually succumbing to a fatal cancer, then we might have time to prepare. If it is happening suddenly, for example in a car crash, then it occurs before we can reflect on what is happening. In either case, the living system of body-mind is deprived of its life energy. If death occurs slowly, then the consciousnesses of the five senses weaken and merge into our mental consciousness, which is suffused with the consciousnesses of the five afflictions and of the ground potential. All the mental processes that supported our expansion out into the world are now gently fading and merging into a mental self-reflexivity. In parallel with this, the five elements, earth, water, fire, wind, and space, gradually lose their differentiation. The subtle earth element that linked with the gross earth element manifesting as bones and flesh dissolves into the subtle water element, resulting in a heaviness of the body. The subtle water element, linked with the gross form of blood, saliva, and so on, dissolves into the subtle fire element, resulting in dryness in the mouth. The subtle fire element, linked with the heat of the liver, dissolves into the subtle wind element, linked with the flow of the breath. Finally, the subtle wind element dissolves into space, and the subtle mental consciousness that was being supported by the breath loses its host in the body. Now, consciousness is a homeless refugee and must travel forth, friendless and alone. Everything that supported one's sense of personal identity is lost. All that remains is the deluding conviction that one exists as something, along with one's latent karmic potentials awaiting the right situation in which to ripen. Although access to one's physical body is lost, our consciousness manifests a mental trace body, having the form of one's previous body. This is like one's body as it was experienced in a dream. Leaving the bardo, or transitional period of death, we enter the bardo of actuality, dharmata. This is the infinite openness of the mind. It is not an object for consciousness, and so, if we have only accessed our dualistic consciousness in the course of our life, we go unconscious. If, through instruction and practice, we have opened to intrinsic awareness, then we remain relaxed and present, with this infinite openness, free of the opacity of entities. If this occurs, there is liberation in the intrinsic mode, the Dharmakaya. This brings us into presence with the presence of our own ground. The ground, source, foundation that the originating moment of unawareness lost sight of. We are returned to the openness we have never actually been apart from. The first thought of a substantial entity, and all the subsequent thoughts that led to the arising of samsara, were not other than the radiance of the ground. Thus, the radiance of the source gave rise to confusion, as insubstantial appearance was taken to be the appearance of substances. The intrinsic, the source, gives rise to both awareness and unawareness. It is not made by awareness, nor lost by unawareness in it. To awaken is to resource in the source, and through this, to see that all that occurs is the intrinsically pure spontaneity of the source. There is no current error. There has been no error. There never will be any error, since all errors are the self-liberating energy of the primordial source. To awaken to this is to be liberated in the deathless. Having gone unconscious, we're suddenly conscious of bright lights, sweet sounds and smiling deities like Tara and Tenrezi beckoning to us. If we have no experience of such brilliant figures, we become fearful and fall unconscious again. If we have received initiation and teaching and have engaged in the deity practices, then we feel that we're among friends and we're finally meeting those we have longed for, the peaceful forms which purify desire. With our joyful opening to them, we merge in their heart and find liberation in the enjoyment mode, the Sambhogakaya. If we have gone unconscious, we revive to loud, terrifying sounds and the horrifying appearance of fierce creatures with weapons, fangs, and staring eyes. These are the wrathful deities who have come to welcome us, but without a previous Dharma connection, we are likely to collapse in terror and go unconscious. If we have received initiation and have practiced, then we can open to these wrathful forms that purify aversion and so merge in their enjoyment mode, the Sambhogakaya. When we revive from unconsciousness, we find ourselves moving. We travel swiftly, passing through hills, walls, and so on, since we are manifesting an illusory body which is gradually taking on the shape of our next life embodiment. If we are to be born as human, then we become conscious of two bodies joined in sexual union, as previously described. If we have faith, we recognize that they are in fact our guru in yab-yum union. They are the presence of the non-duality of wisdom and compassion. And by freely entering their point of union, without the taints of desire and aversion, we can be liberated in the apparitional mode, the Nirmanakaya. Why should we practice intentional transference, Poa? Although there are several opportunities for liberation in the post-death experience as just described, there are also many uncertainties. When the mind has left its previous embodiment, there is usually a feeling of disorientation, since the familiar, reassuring forms that confirmed our identity are lost to us. Who are we? If I am no longer the person I was used to being, and if I have no sense of what I am or what is happening, then it is easy to feel lost, confused, and anxious. In order to spare ourselves the dangers and uncertainties of the bardo path, we can focus on consciously directing our mind towards a pure land where liberation is facilitated by the presence of a kind and loving teacher, such as Dharmakaya Buddha Amitabha, Sambhogakaya Bodhisattva Tenrezi, or Nirmanakaya Guru Padmasambhava. The practice of intentional transference is quick and direct, and so should be the first choice at death. If we are not able to engage with it, we can still gain liberation in the several bardo stages because, as the key text says, yet if this transference is not possible for us, then when I and all others are leaving this life, immediately may death ripen as the clear light Dharmakaya, with the bardo ripening as the Sambhogakaya, so that birth is as Nirmanakaya, benefiting all beings in samsara. With the practice of intentional transference, we use the power of our devotion to the deity, energized by our intention to gain liberation in order to work for the benefit of all sentient beings, as the means by which we easily let go of all that has bound us to rebirth in samsara. Devotion brings a joyful focus to our life. Whatever happens, we have a steady sense of purpose. To awaken in order to help others awaken. As we develop equanimity, we are no longer buffeted by the gusts of desire and aversion. Our equanimity is based on not looking for ultimate value in the transient events of this life. The Pure Land, the Buddha Field, is near at hand when we allow its value to be revealed. Distraction, dispersal, and reactivity keep us on the move, turning this way and that, as we try to apprehend the objects that seem to promise us fulfillment. As the years go by, we often become disillusioned by the limitations of the people and the objects we had believed in. We become less hopeful and more hopeless, and this is a hazardous state to occupy. But, with reflection, perhaps we can paradoxically allow a deeper disillusionment by seeing that the beguiling forms of this world are illusory and unable to provide what we long for. Letting go of delusion regarding illusion, we can reclaim the energy, joy, and creativity we have projected into objects and turn these enlivening qualities towards our Dharma path. The delusion of dualistic separation gives rise to samsara and all its sufferings. The exit from this lies in turning towards the ignored, opening to inclusion, and finding union with the Buddha's heart. To merge into the realm of the Buddha, or the body of the Buddha, or the heart of the Buddha, are all ways of awakening to our non-difference with the Buddha. Even in our usual body, we are not other than the emanations of the Buddha's mind. However, due to our karmic and cognitive obscurations, we can find this difficult to understand, to believe, and to manifest. Therefore, in order to facilitate our awakening, the Buddhas have manifested their Pure Lands, where support is optimal and difficulties minimal. Dewa Chen, the Buddha Field of Amitabha, arose from the power of the vow he made when forming his Bodhisattva intention to help all beings. He vowed to accumulate a vast store of merit and wisdom in order to generate a pure land where happiness is all-pervading. This is Dewa Chen, Sanskrit Sukhavati, the happy. His heart emanation, Chenrezi, Avalokiteshvara, manifested the pure land of Potala. Chenrezi sees all the suffering in the world, and he was so touched and moved by what he saw that he gave rise to Pambasambhava, the lotus born, the lotus source. Who is Pambasambhava? Pambasambhava means arising from a lotus, and in this book he is referred to as both lotus born and lotus source. The lotus flower is a symbol of purity, and the supreme purity is the intrinsic purity of the open mind, untainted from the beginningless beginning. Arising from the purity of the mind itself, the apparitional form of Pambasambhava is pure, empty appearance. He is not a person, a sentient being, a substance, an entity. He is the radiance of five-coloured light, the playful, connective light of the Buddha's love. As the Drowa Kundral text says, Hrihi, from Chenrezi's heart centre, rays of five-coloured light flow into the ocean, revealing the apparitional Nirmanakaya, free of causes and conditions, the amazing one born from a lotus. Pambasambhava, please come here. The letter Hrihi is the seed syllable of both Amitabha and Chenrezi, and it is present in the heart of Chenrezi. Red in colour, it is the creative potential revealed by the purification of desire. As such, it is the originating seed of the lotus family, one of the five Buddha families. From it, rays of light, white, red, blue, yellow and green, shine out and flow in a stream into the Dhanakosha lake, where they manifest a lotus, on which is the form of Padmasambhava as an 8-year-old child. No specific causes or conditions have given rise to him, for he is the spontaneous display of the non-dual compassion of the Buddha. He is purity, born from purity. He is, of course, not actually born, since he is without beginning or end. All appearance is unborn, being inseparable from emptiness, and thereby free of the taint of the delusion of inherent existence. In order to bring the living truth of this sentence into the hearts of suffering beings, Padmasambhava manifests as the instant direct presence of appearance and emptiness, sound and emptiness, awareness and emptiness. This unborn purity effortlessly purifies the delusion of birth and death. Padmasambhava is always present everywhere and is free of coming and going. However, for shaded characters like ourselves who are blind to non-dual integrity, he has made his compassionate form available for connection. We can invite him here to merge into us and reveal our non-duality. So the above text says, please come here. We can also go to him, travelling on rays of light to meet him in his palace of lotus light. This is a practice of intentional transference that all the texts in this book are leading up to. The texts begin on page 27 with an introductory prayer to Buddha Shakyamuni, which follows in the next recording. This is from the book Lotus Source by C.R. Lama and James Lowe. Read by Wendy and completed on Sagadawa, June 2023.